Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. God gave mankind the home. The home is a divine institution designed and given by Almighty God. The same thing is true concerning the church. It is also a divinely originated institution. And from Romans chapter 13, we learn that God has ordained the existence of civil government. But in the next couple of lessons, we're going to be concerned with the relationship between the home and the church. If I were to give these two lessons a title, I would call it Good Homes Help Make Good Churches, and Good Churches Help Make Good Homes. And certainly there is a need for both of them, is that not true? A former Bible teacher of mine told of two visits that he made to different homes, and both of these homes were the homes of elders in the church. One of them had two married sons. Both of those sons were active in the church, teachers in the church. And he came away from that home thinking how that good homes help make good churches. Those two boys were reared in that good home, and now they serve and help make good churches. And during the other visit, he asked the elder where he had met his wife, and it was at a worship service. And they attended the same Bible classes. They were married at the church building by a faithful gospel preacher. And they discussed how the church had helped them through the years, in times of trial, when they had problems, when grief sometimes overtook them because of various losses, and how the church provided strength and encouragement and comfort and guidance, giving them power to face their difficulties and to overcome them. And he came away from that second home with the idea that good churches help make good homes. That second home was the good home that it was because the church had been such a help to that home. Well, it is certainly true that good churches contribute to the establishment and to the maintenance of good homes. But is it not also true that good homes contribute to building and maintaining good churches? They're sort of like the two rails of a railroad track. They complement each other. Each is vital and necessary to the other. And while in a sense they are independent, they are also dependent one upon the other. The home is dependent upon the church, and the church is dependent upon a good home. After all, they both came from the mind of God. They are both divinely planned. One began at Eden, the other began on the day of Pentecost, and side by side, they contribute to the welfare of those that are involved. Now consider with me for a moment the benefit that's rendered by the church to the home. And we might start by considering the actual physical assistance that sometimes the church has to give the home. The home sometimes runs into material and physical problems. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 authorizes the church to offer relief where it is needed. Money, food, clothes, physical care, these things are all within the nature of the help that the church can and often does offer to those who are in physical distress, especially to those that are of the household of faith. But more often, the church offers to the home spiritual assistance, spiritual instruction, spiritual training and guidance, and counsel. It gives the home direction. And there be those occasions when those in the home need encouragement and sympathy and fellowship. The church offers the opportunity for those in the home to worship and to serve and to study. The church provides that for every member of the home, young and old alike. and the eldership. It has the watch care for the souls of all of those who are members of that congregation. And those in that home who are part of that congregation, they have those who are looking out for them. Now, this is part of God's plan for keeping brethren from falling away. There are those who are trying to make sure that the sheep do not wander astray. But consider the benefit the church renders to the children in the home. The children are involved in Bible classes where they are taught from the very early age. And it is in these classes and these activities among the young they learn to love and to share, and they learn to have respect for authority, the authority of the parents, but particularly the authority of God. And they are taught to seek the high levels of morality than what the sinful world would have them to accept. They learn the value of honesty and purity, and they learn to have self-respect and dignity. The church offers parents in the training of children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's primarily the duty of the home to see that the child is properly trained. But the church can certainly assist the home, assist the parents, in providing opportunities for the children to learn. One juvenile judge reported that he had tried nearly 14,500 cases of young people under the age of 17 years. He said in only two instances, now two, mind you, only two did both parents attend Sunday school classes with their children. And furthermore, in only 93 cases were the young people attending classes at the time that they got into trouble. Don't you see the good influence of such periods that are offered by the church to the home and to the parents and to the young? Don't you see why the church urges father and mother to bring and to accompany their children in such activities? The home and the church working together is of eternal well-being as well as temporal benefit to both young and old. Blessed is that child that has good parents that attend a good church. But the benefit is not just to the young. The Bible says the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Titus chapter 2. Verses 3 through 5. There is to be the coupling of biblical instruction with practical experience that the older Christians can give to the younger Christians, and all should take advantage of the wisdom of the godly people in the church. And then consider the value of the opportunity for worship that the church affords those in the family. Families worshiping together have a great bond, a great tie together. It is true saying, families that pray together stay together. Children are impressed by example, and they see the example of their parents active in worship to God, and thereby they learn where true value lies. They learn to respect God. They learn to respect God's will. They learn what that will is. There's no greater heritage that parents can give to their children than a strong parental example of faith in God. Such worship opportunities are instances of the church taking an interest in the families. This is one reason we should be repulsed at the idea where children are removed from their parents, shuttled off somewhere else, deprived of the opportunity not only to learn what they can by word, and they learn a lot more than we sometimes suspect, but by demonstration, by seeing their parents in their devotion to God and their parents doing the things that God authorizes to be done in worship. Children learn that way. They learn to respect those things. The church offers that to the home. And furthermore, the church affords association for the members of the home to be with the finest people on earth. Yes, we know that evil companions corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. And people of the church being together, they provide fellowship for one another. They make being a Christian a joy. It's a real privilege in this life. Oh yes, the Christians are not perfect, but good companions encourage good morals. The preventive side of Christianity is realized in Christian association. Many Christians have benefited immeasurably from the fellowship of their brethren. In good times and bad times, Christians are helping each other get to heaven. They enjoy the wisdom and the counsel, as well as seeing the example and godly people round about them. There's no other conclusion that can be drawn except that good churches that are fulfilling the role has assigned to churches, they will help make good homes. But we need to consider how good homes can make good churches, and we'll do that in our next lesson. Someone has written, "You will need one husband, one wife, children to search yourselves. Next, cream one cup of love until it is fluffy and mellow. Add one half cup of fear, tears, and hardships, and stir gently. Whip in a cup of joy when smooth. Add one teaspoon each of thoughtfulness, heartfelt tenderness, and sympathy. Add one cup of ambition with two cups of Christianity generally. Bake in a moderate oven, and top with kindness and serve repeatedly." Well, that's a rather trite and trivial recipe, but it does tell us of some of the qualities that possess and those in a good home they do have. Now, there's no passage in the Bible that begins this way, that the home should be thus and so. The Bible does, however, give specific as well as general principles. This teaching includes instructions to husbands and to wives and to children concerning their responsibilities, their blessings, their privileges. Homes that listen to the teaching of the Bible will be of inestimable value to the church. The homes need help. The churches need help. Friend, we just look at our society today. Is not there evidence all round about us that so many homes are in despair? They're dysfunctional. The children of the home, they're not growing up the way they ought to. The parents of the home are not discharging their responsibilities as they ought to. The church can help homes like that. And those in the home ought to take advantage of what the church can offer. And churches need help in our day when degeneracy and sin and rioting and all kind of satanic behavior is going on. Good homes can help churches stay with the pattern of God and be what God wants the home to be and to be what God wants the church to be. We are assured that good homes make good churches and good churches make good homes. And in our next lesson, we're going to see what the Bible has to say to husbands and to wives and to children. And we're going to see the influence the home can have on the church and the influence the church can have on the home. We hope that you'll be interested enough to want to hear the second part of this lesson. Until then, this is A Burning Fire. Until next time.